The following audio was recorded at the Pacific School Leadership Institute, which was held October 24 and 25, 2019, in Spokane, Washington.
Well, welcome to this workshop of Education Matters and Diligence Matters. But I'd say God's Word matters the most. And I trust that we will hear from God this morning in this workshop through your discussion with me, not just because of me, but because we want to work together. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to share together this morning and to look at the subjects of diligence and education. And thank you so much for bringing these subjects, these opportunities into our lives. And thank you for this group of men and women here that we can discuss together this particular subject. And we ask that you would direct us today in the direction that you want us to take, and that this would be a means of inspiration for each of us in whatever areas that we have need of. We just commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen. This is going to be more of a discussion, workshop type of idea than it is a lecture. And so in order to get that started, I'm going to have a few questions for you to get the feel of where we want to go as a group. Why did you choose this particular workshop? Is there any particular thing you were hoping to gain out of this workshop? Anybody? Okay, the workshop's done. Nobody needed anything.
I was thinking about how to inspire students into diligence.
Okay, inspiring students. Anything else? Yes. Okay. Well, I'm not sure how to put that one very concisely. Is education important for a challenged student in regards to their education? I mean, in regards to their occupation in the future? Boy, I don't know how to put that in concise words, but we'll just put challenged student up here to make so that we don't get this left by the wayside.
I want to sharpen my vision as a mom for my children.
Okay, to sharpen the vision.
And I want to use my students' time and my time in the best possible way.
Time management. And it's okay if you laugh if I happen to misspell. You can correct me. I had students do that all the time, so. Anything else? Yes?
To maintain the excitement that I feel at the beginning of the year, throughout the year.
Okay.
Seems like a number of the...
Vision. Okay, go ahead. Who's talking?
Like a number of the things you have up there have to do with managing expectations.
Okay. Maybe we should talk about our expectations. Another question. We'll leave this list for right now. Just as to get an idea of what we're kind of looking at, how many of your schools go only through 8th grade? We have a few schools that go only through 8th grade. How many of you, the other cutoff is typically at 10th grade. How many of you would have just through 10th grade? A few more of that. How many of you would go all the way through high school? I'd say more of them stop at 10th grade than what go all the way through high school. Some of the questions that I had as I was looking at this particular topic, and I'm just going to list a list of questions here, throw them out here. There's not really an order to them, but these are questions that I had. With Google, why do we need to know all this variety of information? These are questions our students could ask. Why should we learn all the math facts when we have calculators with us 24/7? In the hard work that we put into education, is the hard work that we put into education really worth it? Should our education shift to things that can't be found easily on Google? Should we be pushing for college education? Why do most of our schools primarily go through 8th grade? And here I think there's actually more that go through 10th than what 8th. I know some communities, depending where you go in the country, there's a lot more communities that would go just through 8th grade. Why stop at 10th instead of 12th? What is the point of going all the way through high school? What factors should be taken into consideration when considering how much education? Why does education matter? Why does diligence matter? What are the benefits of education beyond knowing things? And then I'll save my best question till later. So there's so many questions that we have that our students, going to the first couple questions that I had about why do we need to have education when we have Google at our fingertips? And most people are carrying around something like this in their pocket, and they can get on Google anytime, they can get on a calculator anytime. Why is that important? Why can't we just rely on Google instead of using our brains? What would you tell a student if he were to ask you that in your classroom? Or if you're visiting as a board member, what kind of feedback would you give them?
Google isn't always correct.
Oh, really?
Really?
I thought Google was always right.
Technology is great when it works.
Technology is great when it works. Yes?
Trying to find truth on Google is like trying to take a drink from a fire hydrant.
With muddy water.
Exactly.
I think it makes you lose something by not exercising your mind and disciplining your mind to learn something in a more complete and spend a little more time learning something well with your own mind rather than relying on something else or somebody else's mind.
Okay. Is there anybody else that had a thought they were just getting ready to go with?
Another problem with Google is that it tends to shape your thinking in its direction, in the direction it thinks you want to go. And education needs to be able to, Christian education, needs to be able to think in the direction God wants your mind to go, and Google isn't geared that way.
Okay. What is education? And we'll see if Google really fits the definition of education. So if we were to write a definition of education, and we can make this one up as we go, we don't have to have a dictionary definition here. What is education?
Fear of the Lord.
The fear of the Lord. What else?
The knowledge of truth.
The knowledge of truth. There's a reason for the capital.
Outfitting a person for life.
Outfitting for life.
Focusing on our thought process. guiding us in the way we think.
Focusing our thought process.
It's kind of a dumb answer, maybe, but the ability of knowing how to learn.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Ability of knowing how to learn.
And I was hoping that one would come up. And it's not exactly the way I had it worded in my mind, but that one is by far the most not the most important. It's very much a part of it.
Just along with that, a desire to get wisdom.
The desire to get wisdom. Is that kind of... No. Okay. If we are looking at this list, does Google provide that? There's some aspects. I mean, the knowledge of truth, you might be able to find some knowledge of truth on Google. But that, none of that really comes from Google. None of that really comes from a calculator. These things are here to inspire our brains to function. That's what education really is. If you're looking at the second question here, the challenged student, educating a challenged student, is it important that they learn how to do the reading, the writing, the arithmetic, all that kind of thing? Or is it important to... for them, is it more important for them to have learned skills that they can use for life? Is one of those education and not the other? Are both of them education? Getting some head nods. Okay, so they're both a part of our education. I can pick on Jonah because I know him, and he's a dyslexic guy. I am too. We have different degrees of dyslexia, or it has affected us differently through our schooling. But the coping mechanisms that we use to learn how to do this type of thing, the writing, the scholastic things, are different from what they are for somebody that does not have that challenge. They're skills that we have learned that are used to inspire us to keep on learning, okay? I have a brother who never made it past sixth grade in school. I mean, he actually pulled out of school. We tried working with him at home. Never went past sixth grade. Does he still have a love for learning new things? He's learning new things all the time. Does it have to be just education when we think of books? No, it does not have to be that. But how can we inspire education and diligence for these challenged students? And this goes into the first two, the thing of inspiring our students in general. And then the thing of inspiring the slower learner, the one that's challenged with books. Do any of you have a story that you can tell just briefly of what inspired you in your learning? Yes, sir.
Just for myself, when I was about 18, one of the brethren in the church had a wonderful library. And through an illness that he had and me going to visit him while he was laid up, he while I was trying to go bless him, he would end up blessing me just by, he would know I was about when I would show up, and he would have a few books sitting on his coffee table, and we would sit down and drink coffee, and he would just say, Jonah, here's a book you ought to read. At the time, I could barely even read. And he started with books that had lots of pictures in them, and from there, got to where I was reading books that didn't have any pictures anymore, and got me reading. And I finally started falling asleep with a book on my face.
Why did that matter? How has that shaped your life?
I wouldn't be here otherwise.
Okay, so why are you here?
Because somebody helped me learn how to read.
And now what are you here for?
To try to help other people do the same thing.
Okay. If you don't know who Jonah is, he teaches school down in Bangor, California, and he has taught for, I don't know how many years now.
This is 14.
14 years. Or 14th year. Was somebody effective at helping him realize that education mattered? Definitely. Were they effective in helping him realize that diligence matters? Yes. But how did they do that? Did they drill it into him? Hey, you got to get an education. You got to be diligent about this education because it just, you're going to have it for life. I don't know if you had anybody trying to tell you that or not. But the story he gave of that man just inspiring him to dig in and be diligent has created the diligence and the education that he has today. And now he can use that wisdom that he got from that to do the same inspiring to his students. Thanks for coming to our class after all, Jonah. I just about kicked you out. Okay? Anybody else have a story that you think of as you think of your own life? Something that inspired you to learn? Yes?
Very simple story, but I struggled with a love for learning in school. One teacher especially noticed that my mind was elsewhere. And it was a very simple comment one day that stuck with me. And I stayed in a recess to work on something that I hadn't got done. And she said, you should learn to love learning. Because she said, your whole life you're going to have to learn. Very simple, but it was something that made me sit up. Okay, I'm not going to get away from this. She inspired me to start learning. And yeah, she was right. Life is... we never get out of school.
And so you still love to learn today.
Still love to learn.
That's great. And what part of the school do you play today?
I've been a board member for quite a few years.
Okay. It's the board member aspect of it. Yes?
Mine's maybe a little bit in reverse. I was a very lazy student. I can't point to any one teacher that really inspired me, but when I became a teacher, it was my students that inspired me to learn. I knew if I was going to help them, I needed to do a lot of learning that I just spun over when I was in school. So it's a little bit in reverse here, but we can continue to be inspired by those who are teaching.
Okay. Yes.
And then we inspire our students, because Danny was probably inspirations.
Okay, we have a student-teacher thing going on here. I give my credit to actually caring about school. I mean, I was bouncing along through school all the way up until the eighth grade. I couldn't have cared less really about school. A lot of that had to do with the way I was treated at school from the other students, but it was just, I would have never said that I was going to be a school teacher someday. My eighth grade teacher was one that took an interest in me personally, and we had actually gone from a school all the way through seventh grade. I was in a very small school. We had, the last year we had, I think it was 12 students. And so they they closed our school down because the next year there would have only been 5 students, and there was another big church school with 80-some students right next door. I mean, we could literally see across the field to the other school. So the next year we went over to that school, and so this was a culture shock for me to start with, going from a school of about 10 students to, you know, 80 students. But this teacher took an interest in all of us that came over. She took an interest in all of her students, but she took an interest in me and inspired in me the thing of just by her interest, you can do this, you can learn. And there was a curriculum change going on, so there was a lot of things that I felt way lacking in. I really had to work hard to get past anything that year, and I don't really remember much of what I learned. I remember doing language over and over and over on the one concept because I just could not grasp it. But she inspired in me a desire to teach and to learn. And that has taken me on to be a teacher. I taught for 10 years. But it is exciting. I've lived in our church where we are now since 01. I taught there for 4 years. And I've watched multiples of my students teach either in our school or another school. And it is inspiring to see the things that inspired me have inspired them, and they are doing the same thing in their teaching that I did because I learned from my teacher that inspired me. So you see how the process goes on? Now, that can be taken both negatively and positively, but that is where education and diligence comes in. The things that we do actually do matter because they educate whether we're trying to educate or not. We have to be diligent in doing what needs to be done correctly and not just live our lives in such a way that they just happen, because that can educate them in the wrong way as well. I was asking around one of our bishop, actually our former bishop, I was asking him on some questions about this whole topic. And he comes from a family, his mom and dad both would have had college education and were the starters of our school there at Porter Mennonite School. And so they had a drive and that was their drive. Education was their drive. They had majored in several different things, but this all came through in Brother Ernest and Ida, in the way they taught and the way they set our school into motion. And there's benefits that have come from that even today because of the way they have started the whole process of school. Asking him about what does it mean to educate, what does it mean, or diligence, what are some things that came to his mind? And for him, education meant to promote a desire to learn or to instill a hunger for learning. And he said a teacher can teach facts, but that's about where it goes in his mind. But an educator inspires the students to learn the facts and to dig in on their own. I thought that was rather interesting. And for his definition of the diligence, it includes the desire to learn extensively and thoroughly. In other words, you're not just here to grab the things off the top, but to go deep with it and dig it out. And that's been evident he loves to do word search and that kind of thing in his preaching, and he will dig things out. He likes to go to the bottom of it. Those are just some of the things that he has gleaned from his parents in the way they have started the whole school. Has your vision been sharpened at all by being here?
Yes.
It has good. So that one's taken care of. Time management. What? Okay, who was it that mentioned the time management thing? Okay, and could you just reiterate that again?
Just how to use my time and the student's time in the best possible way.
Okay. And if you don't use your time in the best possible way, the students won't for sure not. So your focus is more for you to use your time in the best way than it is for the students, because it will rub off on the students. It will show to the students. In what type of way are you looking at? Are you looking at as far as in the classroom, your preparation time otherwise? Where do you see yourself on that?
Probably both. The more the preparation, sometimes it's difficult to know how much time to spend on something, or also students that need extra help, how much time to spend on that thing.
Okay. So, one of the questions that we can ask ourselves, if we're looking at time management, we have to do the studying that has to happen in order to teach. But there's so many things that we have to teach. How many grades do you have?
Four
grades, all subjects, right? Okay. There's some things that are important to get and some things that are less important. You have to prioritize that. But one of the questions that I think of is, am what I am doing, or is what I am doing right now going to help them have a hunger to go deeper themselves? Does that make sense? How can we do that? How can we keep that focus? Is there anybody else here that has... How many teachers do we actually have here, or who have taught? Okay, we do have a few. Okay, just trying to get the feel here. What have you learned in your classroom experience? What have you learned to help you focus on the important things to be able to inspire your students to learn?
One of the things that I endeavor to do is to give the students the reason for the lessons before the lesson. For example, I repeatedly ask my students, why do we study English? And I expect them to know that we study it to be able to communicate effectively. And that takes the mystery of why we're doing this thing away and put some purpose behind it. And the same with math concepts and facts in school and what school. I try to give them the reason ahead of the fact, if at all possible.
Okay, so give the purpose for the project.
Mm-hmm.
Any other input or even question about this whole thing?
Sometimes it can be, you know, just by your example. One year I taught high school, I picked out a few different missions that I thought were interesting and talked about them, and I required each student to, okay, you choose a few, you know, and you tell us about them, and they each had a turn that, you know, came up, so they knew they had time to prepare. And I don't know, I think in different ways I tried to inspire them, I think, by my inspiration or my interest in reading or in whatever. And then now you share. Now you know, do the same thing. Instead of just requiring something of them, I guess I tried to show it myself.
I think it does.
Kind of along that line, I've been thinking about it a lot recently as far as just things like in saying Bible memory or giving oral reports or things like that. I've found that whenever I actually do it myself and do it first, that there's something about that that shows the students that, you know what, this is, you know, even the teachers involved in this.
Okay, that having that personal involvement helps to inspire that. What are some things that help us to know what are the important things? What are some questions we can ask ourselves to help weed that important, or put our things in 1, 2, 3 order of importance?
It's been mentioned already, but the first and foremost vision of the Christian school is Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. That's a priority.
Okay.
All things fall in their spot underneath that. And that can be taught through math facts, or you live in an orderly world, through English. Brother Darrell mentioned, you know, English is relating to God and communicating. I think that's first and foremost.
Okay.
It's maybe a given, but worthy of mentioning.
Okay, what's one that could come under that as a second? I totally agree with you on that.
Christian service would certainly come under that. How do these things help in that?
In other words, does it promote Christian service for others? Anything else?
Would you state your question again?
What are some questions we can ask ourselves as we prioritize our list of many things to do, 1, 2, 3, to help us get figured out? What is the most important thing to focus at in order to manage our time?
Just thinking more, does it equip for service, but promotion of service is...
I can change that.
Students, and I think probably most of our mission statements for our schools, if we have one, will have that in one of the first 3 points. And so, maybe for example, talk about English, using it for good management of our speech and being able to handle the language. We all enjoy reading. Somebody had to write those things. Somebody had to edit those things. That's just one example of how English, learning English and learning the grammar and learning the parts of speech is equipping for service. We always need writers write the thoughts in a logical way.
And it's important to be diligent in that, because when a speaker is up speaking and he says them things, it's very distracting. For somebody that doesn't pay attention to that, it's not distracting. But for me, improper grammar can be very distracting, and I totally lose the thought of where they were trying to go with what they're saying. It's because of not being diligent in grammar, if you want to put it that way. Yes, one more.
How would I put two underneath that? The first one being, what is the minimum that the student needs to know to be able to be equipped? And the second one, what is the maximum the student is capable of?
Okay.
Because different students have different abilities. And if we can understand those two things, we can get the slow student the minimum and push the fast student to try to get the maximum. And that you have to know your students to be able to do that. Doesn't come easily.
Maximum potential?
Sure.
Okay. we're just going to leave that one because we don't have much time anymore. But that gives you an idea. Some of those questions, if the things that you need to do in your list of many things to do not fit those things, make sure those things are at the bottom of your list to do. Make sure these things are covered first as you work with your students, because that is what will inspire you or inspire your students to educate, to have an education and to be diligent in it. I think all of this has been coming together to help us maintain our vision. The last question that I had that I wanted us to get for sure has already been partially answered here. What is the important thing that our education and our diligence needs to reflect? We'll just spend a little bit more time on that one before we close this out. So what is the important thing that our education and diligence needs to reflect?
Proceeds on generation after generation is the teacher principle. And that is simply that we teach students so that in some way they are teachers and they teach students, and then the whole kingdom work continues to go on. That's a principle of the kingdom.
Okay, so the kingdom is the important part that we're looking at here. Any other feedback on that? It's quite easy as a teacher to get your focus on math, language, science, social studies, music, Bible, penmanship, and forget the kingdom part of that focus that has to be there in order for the inspiration to really go deep. Yes?
There is one point that I have noticed that bothers me, and that is I've been around a number of teachers through boarding them and all that. That this idea of your theme and your classroom decoration, I personally think it's overdone. As I went through school, I went to public schools most of my years, I don't remember the bulletin boards, I don't remember the curtains matched the borders. I just remember what I learned and the social aspect of, I blabbed a secret and the other students were mad at me. I learned you don't do that anymore. The social skills, a lot of things. And I'm all for decent decoration, but I do feel like it is an emphasis, especially girls, like to overdo.
I've been in there. I've had multiple themes in my life, but if your focus is on the theme instead of the education that you can use... But there are a lot of lessons that you can get out of a theme. Some themes not as much so as others, but there are a lot of lessons you can get out of a theme. But if you're going to use a theme, make sure you get the lessons out of it. I had used, there's one I used as a farm scenes. I say farm scenes, farm pieces, like a rope, a whip, you know, whip. I had something about whipping out laziness or something like that. Block and tackle. Block out distractions and tackle your work. There's multiple different things that I could use in that whole thing. A saddle I had in the classroom, a bridle. There's lessons that I pulled out of each one of those things. I used them for devotionals. I used them for just, you know, if a student was being distracted, hey, you know, pull out this thing off the wall. So make sure that you have things off the wall or on your walls that are teaching. And if they are a theme, great. If they aren't a theme, they'll still teach. So, but I agree that the theme thing can be overdone if that's where your focus is, just the theme. Are there any other questions that you have? Yes.
Just a reflection of what Brother Allen said. I'm about halfway through the book, passing on the faith. Story of Lancaster Mennonite School, and if you want an instructive book on how focus can shift and the results of that shift. It's a very instructive book. And just to encourage people to keep the focus on the primary things. Teachers can be a part of that. School boards need to be the primary focus of that. But as that focus began to shift from having a school that was equipping for Christian service and Christian life, in their churches, it dramatically and drastically has changed over the last 75 years from what it was to what it is today. Very instructive.
Very good. Remember, be diligent about educating. Okay? Thank you very much. You're dismissed.